They say the Bible's turned to Matthew chapter 28, I'll be reading verses 1 to 10, and I represent God, we're speaking of the first friend. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I told him." So departing quickly from the tomb, with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me." Sunday, we were looking at the previous verses in the end of chapter 27, and we were looking at the events of Friday, and I mentioned about a message that was given a long time ago called, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." Because Friday, things looked very bad for the disciples. Everything looked bleak for the followers of Jesus. He was taken from the cross and put into a tomb. They looked sad. It looked hopeless. Jesus, the one they were following, had died. They did not remember the things that he had said, or his disciples, rather, did not remember how he said that he was going to be crucified and rise again on the third day. His enemies remembered it, but his followers didn't. And they were, they had abandoned him because they thought all their hope was over. Their hope was based on Jesus being alive. And they thought he was dead. They saw him crucified. But some, even though things looked at their worst, decided to no longer become secret followers of Jesus, but to let their allegiance to Jesus be known. Joseph, a man on the Sanhedrin that had not agreed to the verdict to crucify Jesus, to condemn Jesus, went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. We're told in the Gospel of John that Nicodemus was there with him. He took Jesus' body and put it in a tomb. It was the day of preparation before the Sabbath. Sabbath started at sundown. So we looked, and Jesus gave up his spirit at 3 in the afternoon. So sundown would be about 6, so between 3 and 6. Joseph went and took Jesus' body and put it in the tomb. And it says that he and Nicodemus took 75 pounds of spices, of myrrh and aloe, and put him on the body and wrapped Jesus' body in a fine linen. Jesus had been abandoned at the cross by all his disciples except John. And John seems to have wept before Jesus gave up his spirit. But the women were there, all the Marys, and Mary and the other Mary watched as Jesus gave up his spirit, watched as Nicodemus and Joseph took the body, watched Jesus' body being put in the tomb, saw where it was, watched Joseph roll a stone in front of the grave, and then the next day, during the Sabbath, the high priest went to Pilate and said, that deceiver Jesus said he's going to rise again in 3 days. And if his disciples come and steal the body, you think they're going to do that, then the deception that he has risen from the dead will be worse than his initial deception. They were right in this, in their statement. The final deception will be worse than the first because they were the deceivers, not Jesus. Jesus was speaking the truth. And so Pilate told the religious leaders to go. You have guards. Go and seal the tomb. Make it as secure as you know how. So they took some hardened Roman soldiers, soldiers that had seen combat, then hand-to-hand fighting, because there wasn't much else. You didn't have drone attacks at that time. They were, you got up real close with those that you were fighting. And they were put in charge of guarding the tomb. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sunday was the first day of the week. The first day after the Sabbath. In Jewish terminology, there's no name for any day other than the Sabbath. You have the Sabbath, the first day after the Sabbath, the second day after the Sabbath, and so on till you get to the next Sabbath. You don't have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You have Sabbath. Day one after Sabbath, day two after Sabbath, and so on until you get to the next Sabbath. Well, the first day of the week, the first day after the Sabbath, which we know as Sunday, and this is why we meet on Sunday, we see those women that had been watching, seeing where Jesus was, were going to anoint his body one more time. Jewish tradition said that the spirit stays with the body for 4 days. And after 4 days, the body is so unrecognizable, the spirit can't recognize anymore, it goes away. So they could have been thinking that this is the last time that we can anoint the body while his spirit is still there. If you remember the account of Lazarus, when Jesus went to raise Lazarus, his sister said, it's been 4 days, he surely stinks by now, that it was, the spirit's gone now. Jesus waited those 4 days, knowing the Jewish tradition. The women then came, and there was an earthquake, and an angel came and rolled the stone away. And there was some more quaking going on. The same root word that talks about earthquake talked about the guards quaking. They quaked the same way the earth did. And they froze. These are the soldiers that have been trained and have fought hand-to-hand combat, taken life, been injured, maybe. They saw this angel, and one commentator said, might say they fainted. They were like dead men. They couldn't move. They were so shaken by fear. But the angel said to the women, don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. If you turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we need to understand the resurrection is the most important thing in Christianity. Jesus is a liar if he didn't rise from the dead. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in chapter, verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. Moreover, we are bound to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Those, then, who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. If there is no resurrection, we are still bound by our sins. If you have a debt you need to pay, you can take out some greenbacks that aren't worth anything except for the promise that they are worth something. A dollar, well, I've got a piece of paper here, and I can write $1 on it. Doesn't make it worth anything. But the government promises to pay, honor the equivalent of $1 when you give one of that piece of paper that says $1 or $5 or $10 or whatever. It's a promissory note. It's not worth anything if the government doesn't back it up. And if it's worthless, then you still owe your debt. Our sin debt owed to God is still on us if there's no resurrection from the dead. By Jesus' blood, we are forgiven, and by his resurrection, he proves that he has power to forgive our sins. And resurrection is not a concept that was new in the New Testament. Turn me to Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. And verse 25. But I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand on the dust. Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet I will see God in my flesh. Psalm chapter 49. Job, there talked about a resurrection where he will, even after he's turned to dust, he will be in his skin again. Psalm 49, verse 15. But God will redeem me from the power of Sheol, for he will take me. And Psalm 73, verse 24. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me up in glory. Isaiah chapter 26. And verse 19. Your dead will live, their bodies will rise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for you will be covered with the morning dew, and the earth will spring out, will bring out the departed spirits. And Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to eternal life, and some to disgrace and eternal contempt. The concept of the resurrection was taught in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled it. He is described as the firstborn among the raised from the dead. He was the first to rise again. And when the angel, back in our passage in Matthew, said, "He is alive, go and tell his disciples." The women who never abandoned Jesus stayed there even when everybody else left, were the first to get the message. They were the first to see the empty tomb. Just like Mary had a visitation from an angel saying that she would be the mother of Jesus, so another Mary got a message: "He is alive. Go and tell the disciples. And go tell them, go to Galilee," just like Jesus had told them. And Jesus had told them in Matthew 26, verse 32, that after he rises, he will go ahead of them into Galilee. And so what did the women do? With joy and fear at the same time, they went to tell the disciples. They were first to get the message. They were first to be sent. And as they're going to tell the disciples, they're the first to see the risen Jesus. He meets them on the way as they're going to tell. And they fall. And they're the first to worship, falling at his feet, and risen Jesus. The women give us an example that we need to follow. They didn't abandon Jesus. They didn't understand everything. Mary Magdalene, it tells us in one of the other Gospels, apparently didn't see. As soon as she saw the stone rolled away, she went and told Peter and didn't get the message from the angel until a little bit later. But the other women that were there saw the empty tomb, got the message, went and followed up on the message, told the disciples. Even though the disciples thought they were crazy, they were hiding in an upper room or in a room behind a locked door because they're afraid. Peter and John had run to the tomb and seen the empty tomb. They hadn't seen the angel. They come back and they're not sure what's going on. And the women are telling the disciples, "You've seen a risen Lord." And they're talking about, well, two of our people, they saw a risen Lord on the road to Emmaus. We're not sure if that was just a vision or not. And at that time, Jesus appears in their midst. The women didn't give up telling the truth, even when people didn't believe them. There are people today that don't want to believe the truth, that there is a resurrection from the dead. Everyone will rise. Some to eternal life, and some to eternal judgment. And what matters is, are your sins forgiven? Jesus proved He has the power to forgive sin by rising from the dead. And He is alive. We're going to have trouble until Jesus comes. Second Amendment 412, tells us, in fact, anyone who wants to live in private life of Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And First Peter, it tells us, in this you greatly rejoice, but now for a little while you may have to suffer all kinds of trials. These have happened so that your faith is greater worth than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, and through genuine. And on the day result, praise, honor, and glory to Jesus Christ, who is First Peter 1:6-7. The resurrection is the cornerstone, is the foundation of Christianity. Unfortunately, a lot of people tell others, become a Christian and your life will be better. We're not a Christian because it's going to make our life better here on earth. It's going to make our eternity secure. We need to remember to tell people about the resurrection. Follow the example of the women that didn't abandon Jesus. They received the message. They told others, followed through on their commission to go and tell. And they were the first to see Jesus. We, one day, will come face to face. Everyone will come face to face with the risen Jesus. There's an evangelism program called Evangelism Explosion. And one of the questions with it is that if you're standing before our holy Jesus, our holy God, right? And he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And the only answer is, I've been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Not because anything we could. The women weren't good women. They were sinners like the rest of us. But they had a message of truth that they told. We don't have to be good people to tell the truth to others. We just need to be obedient to the truth and forgiven. We go and share with others. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you for this time to be here. I pray that everything that we do will be honored to you. You are coming back very soon. I pray that you will find us obedient, telling your truth. In Jesus' name.